Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Extra Magic Hour, a Last Gen Disney podcast. Today we're going to talk about the enhancements, which is a rare thing where they actually added to something without taking anything away. The enhancements to the dining plan, and then we're going to spend the majority of the time discussing FastPass Plus. What is it? What could it be? Do we like it? Do we not like it? Etc., etc. To my left is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Across from me is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Hello, Pete. And as always, say hello, Pogo. All right, that was Unbirthday by Pogo, and you can find more of his music over at soundcloud.com/pogomix, P-O-G-O-M-I-X. You can find his videos over at youtube.com/pogo, and his official website is pogomix.net. He also has a ton of music up on iTunes, but we'll have all links for that in the show notes when we post this up in a couple of days, which also might be on iTunes, hopefully by next week. We finally had our cover art done for us this weekend. It looked really, really great. It'll be in the header of this website that you're reading right now that you found this show off of initially. And actually, it was done by Melissa's sister, Brittany Mignone. And if you have any requests for her, I guess go through us first. I don't want to give out her info right away.
Yeah.
Right? That probably wouldn't be a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And towards Pogo, I was actually wrong. We are going to be interviewing him in a week and a half. And we're going to talk to him about his involvement with Disney when he did some music for them. It wasn't a very long time, but it's kind of like how freelancers' work goes sometimes with Disney. So what do you guys want to talk about this week? We're going to talk about the dining plan mishmashes. I guess we should say the website and everything first, right?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Website for us is lastgenpodcast.com. We actually now have two shows, the one you're listening to right now and our original show, The Film Basement. You can find all those episodes on the website, and you can find those on iTunes if you search for Film Basement or just Last Gen. It will come up both ways, which when this show is up on iTunes, same thing. If you search for Last Gen, it will come up. It'll just have a different tag at the end instead of Film Basement. It'll be the Extra Magic Hour. You can also find us on Twitter at Last Gen Podcast. And we started up a Facebook group. Actually, Brian, you started up a Facebook group today, which I thought was awesome.
Yes.
And do you want to tell people like what we're looking for? Like, you know, what people can do with this? Because it's not like our website. It's a group page.
Yeah, it's not a website. It's a group page. It's called it's Extra Magic Hour Disney Fan Group. What you can do there, it's kind of like a, almost like a forums. It's a place for everybody to come together, Disney fans, to talk Disney, ask questions about Disney, post Disney-related things on there. And it's to help us try and foster like a community type group around, you know, around the show and around our love of Disney, because we all, you know, we love Disney and we know there's a lot of people out there that do. So if you go to Facebook and you search for it and you look in the groups, it should come up. If you put Extra Magic Hour in, it should come up right away. And then you can just click to join the group and we can add you as a member.
Yeah. Just so you know, we made it a closed group. So we tried to avoid as much spam and shoes on sale and all that kind of garbage as possible. So when you put in, you know, join or add,
we'll
get a notification. We just have to click OK, and then you'll be part of the group. And yeah, the way that I found it, if you log into your Facebook account, you can do this on the mobile or anything. Go into the search bar and just put in Extra Magic Hour. That really should make it come up. That's the first result when you put in those words together. And then the additional tag at the end is a Disney fan group. Again, you probably won't need that part, but just so you know, that's where it's there. So so far, we already have like almost 100 people in there.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and
nice.
Then once you're in, I want to say you can add friends of yours.
Yeah, once you're a member, you can add anybody you know that's a Disney fan.
Yeah.
You know, we want to get the group as big as we can and, you know, like we said, build a community around it. So.
Yeah, so once your foot's in the door, which is very easy to do, then, you know, you can find other family members and whatnot and add them to the list. And then we'll be putting our Disney-based news articles.
Yes.
We'll link to them via this site, via this page, I should say, or group.
Yep.
And we'll also be putting up whenever we have a new episode of this show, we'll put it up in on this page as well. Yep. So it's a nice little backup. It's a secondary page, but it's all for Disney. Our website has a lot of, you know, comic book news, movie news, and Disney stuff. This one will be filtered specifically just for the Disney news. Yeah. So let's get into the big news of the week, though, because we're going to take a nice chunk of our time tonight to talk about FastPass Plus. But before we do that, let's talk about the changes that came to the dining plan, which they rarely use the word enhancements. And I'm like, wow, it is an enhancement. And again, the word flexibility was used. And there's no downside to this, as far as I can tell. They didn't up the price, which you know is going to happen eventually anyway, because it's a business.
They do it annually.
It's a business. It's going to happen. Everything that you buy goes up every year. There was a great breakdown I saw, though, this week. Someone took basically the price of a lot of things you could do to spend your day somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, number one example, you know, going to a Broadway play.
Right.
And they broke it down to how much it actually costs you per hour.
Mm-hmm.
And as a Broadway play would be like, you know, $50, $75 per hour, is sometimes more depending on what seat you want to get.
Right.
Disney, even with its $105 ticket for a single day, which initially when you look at it, you're like, wow, that's a lot. It's about $7 an hour.
Yeah, you know what? I was actually just talking about this over the weekend with my mom and my brothers and stuff like that. How it is expensive. Of course it's expensive. It's not. We're not going to say it's not. But I find it worth it when I can do something local. You know, go to do something local, it's still going to cost me a lot of money. It's going to cost me a good chunk of change. And it's, you know, I don't get nearly the same experience as I get at Disney. It's either spend that money to take, you know, to take me and Kyle somewhere. Even if I go to the carnival, that's $100 a night probably. That's a day in Disney. Rides that are up in 5 minutes or Disney World.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Gone in 5 minutes.
Gone in 5 minutes. So it's.
I mean, $7, that's a game of bowling locally here.
Oh, yeah.
So if you were to sit in front of me and say, what do you want to do? You want to go have a... want to go bowl a single game, or do you want to spend an hour in Disney World? I don't like. You have to put things into perspective. It's expensive,
exactly.
But when you start leveling it against other things, it's really not that bad.
It is. It isn't.
So, Melissa, you have a little list there of what happened with this, with the expanded usage of the dining plan. So, what do you got there?
Well, this seems to kind of affect mainly the quick service plan, which includes the quick service meal, a counter service, the table service, and then one snack a day.
One point a day.
Yeah, one quick service meal, one table service point, and one snack per day.
Okay.
It seems to benefit that, but this can also really also help if you're doing the deluxe plan, which is the 3 table service points and 2 snacks, because the majority of the changes came to the snacks, kind of letting you get the most for your dollar, or more than that at this point. I guess in the old system, it used to be any snack or any, we'll call it a snack, was considered a snack on the meal plan if it was under $5. That's gone. Now, anything on the menu that is a snack, even if it's more than $5, is a snack on the meal plan. So if you're looking at that, you know, really huge cinnamon roll, I don't know exactly the prices, but whatever, if something's $5.25, it will now be considered a snack because it's a snack on the menu.
So the exact wording is all items that are marked on the menu as snack eligible, including those that cost more than $5, that's now a snack. Although someone did say LeFou's Brew is still not a snack.
Because...
is that because that's like a specialty drink?
If anything is served in a souvenir container, that's not.
But you don't have to get it in a souvenir container.
Then I'm not sure what they're doing with that.
Okay.
Because... The snacks, whether it's ice cream hand scooped or a regular ice cream pop, whether it's popcorn, you know, fresh pop, not in the bag, and the, you know, any non-alcoholic beverage served in a non-souvenir container is all considered the snack now.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm not sure if maybe on the menu, if LeFou's Brew's in the novelty mug on the menu, so it's not marked as a snack. But if you got it and you said without the mug, it would be then considered a snack.
Does this lesson, you know what, we'll get to that second. Yeah, just going off the menu, just to read them one. These are all now things that are snack entitlement eligible. All single-serve non-alcoholic beverages not served in a souvenir container, as you were saying.
Right.
All ice cream novelties. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Well, like all the bars, like Mickey Shea bars. Yeah, Mickey. And things.
Which those, most of those were on them before, I believe.
I believe. But
maybe
just,
there was one or two that wasn't now. Who knows?
Again, if it was maybe over the $5, it could have been.
Yeah. All hand-scooped ice cream not served in a souvenir container. So that basically means that the ice cream parlor on Main Street, yeah, that's mm-hmm. now a bunch of snacks, I would think.
And I'm wondering if that also now applies to the place in France, because that's also hand-scooped ice cream. It's much bigger than the one in Main Street.
Yeah.
But how much is that normally? I believe it's up to 2 scoops of ice cream. I think anything over would probably
well,
not.
That's the France one. It's 2 scoops.
It's 2 scoops, and yeah. then, yeah, that would
you
be.
Can get larger, but I you think can. There's a 2-scoop.
Yeah, but I think yeah, the 2-scoop.
We get the 2 scoops.
Oh, that's 2 scoops?
Yeah, those scoops are huge.
Oh, I was in my brain, that was way more. All quick service menu side dishes, fresh popped popcorn. Okay. Pre-bagged popcorn is not available as a snack item. Alrighty. At breakfast, the following are considered snacks now. Cereal with milk, including create your own milk. Create your own milk?
No, create
your I know milk. That's not what it means. It's just a joke. French toast sticks, oatmeal and Quino. Oh, God. Just don't have breakfast then. Grits, side of bacon, side of sausage, side of eggs, side of potatoes, biscuits and gravy. And hard-boiled eggs. Bri, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, you just nailed it. I was just going to say that the snacks at the quick-service restaurants, sides at the quick-service restaurants are now snacks.
So that's the first part of it. The second part, this is really interesting. There is no longer a restriction on the number of entitlements that can be used at a meal. Basically, what that means is, if you have a dining plan, now wait a minute, was this a restriction?
I would think if it, because if you like read the rest of the explanation, like the example they give, it says like a group of 2 Disney guests on the dining plan could use 1 additional entitlement for a guest in that party mm-hmm. who's maybe not on the dining plan.
Yeah, like but, say used to.
Yeah, no, like so I'm saying, like if it's me and you and Mike, and say Mike wasn't on the dining plan because he only joined us for the weekend, uh-huh. we could still use the 3 points that we have for him to cover his meal.
We were never able to do it. See, we never thought of doing that before, so
I think we just were like, we weren't able to do that before. Plan, okay, so, yeah.
No, you weren't, but yeah.
All right, interesting. So that's good. So that, again, more flexibility. Mm-hmm. Brian?
Yeah, well, this is one for me because this is deals with children. At the quick service meals now, children's ages 3 to 9 will no longer need to order off the kids' menu. They can order off the adult menu, and it will still count as a quick service meal.
So again, like that's an odd little. So you, if Kyle was with you, and I mean, like granted, if you went up by yourself, you probably could order whatever you want. They wouldn't let Kyle order something not off the kids' menu?
No, because you wouldn't be able to use a credit for it. So if it was just me and Kyle, and we went up there to order 2 meals, and I ordered 2 of the cheeseburgers at Pecos Bill, I wouldn't be able to take a credit off of the dining plan for him because I'd have to order the kids one.
Oh.
But now you can order an adult meal for him.
Okay.
And it's the opposite, too. If you'd rather a child's meal, adult can order a child's meal now.
Interesting.
Yep.
And then we got a third now. At some locations, a dessert may be substituted for a side salad, soup, or fruit plate if available.
Yep.
That's really good because I love dessert. I always love dessert at our meals.
Yeah.
But occasionally, I would like something that's more equal to an appetizer.
Yeah, same here.
So that now opens that up because I know that we stopped going to table services for lunch.
Right.
Because it was such a huge meal and then topped off with a dessert, it would sit with you a little bit, you know, make you feel heavier, you know, and if it's a warm day and whatnot, that just sucks.
Yeah.
So now I think that really opens it up where I don't mind going to, let's say, the 50s Primetime Diner, which I always consider one of the heaviest meals on property.
For lunch,
You know, like you, for lunch, you just feel like you took a beating in that place. It's great. It's fun.
Oh, yeah, no,
but it's heavy, food.
Very heavy.
It's heavy food. So if I didn't have to have a giant s'mores at the end because I felt like I had to, because I mean, ultimately I'm paying for it, you know. So now I can do something different. and still feel that I'm getting something for my money.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. And me too, because I'm not a huge dessert person. So if a lot of places, I don't really like anything that I see on a dessert menu. So now I don't have to do that any longer. I can get a soup or a salad or something like that.
That's ridiculous, but okay.
You know, sometimes you just... Whatever. Sometimes the desserts don't look good. Don't look appetizing.
And the child thing doesn't only work in quick serve. It also works in regular table
service.
It
works at the table service?
Yeah, so
also,
yeah.
Okay. I only saw quick service, but yeah.
Yeah, no, so if, you know, you were out to dinner, he wouldn't just be, you know, restricted to the kids', you know, chicken fingers. Which...
That'll work for me because Kyle eats like an adult, so.
So now going towards the quick service restaurants, a dessert or beverage from the quick service meal entitlement can be substituted for any snack item on the menu within the same order.
Right.
So if you didn't want to get a drink, let's say, with your quick service meal, but you wanted to get the, I don't know.
Like an extra side, because now the sides are now snacks, so you can kind of work it the whole way. So you, if you wanted, like, the French fries and, say, the baked beans or something.
As long
like that.
As that's considered a snack on the menu.
Which, in the prior thing...
Yeah, which in the previous, it does...
All the quick service meal sides are snacks. So it kind of, like, balances, like, that kind of thing.
And there was one more thing, I don't know, under the plan, you can now trade out a quick service meal for three snack options.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
That is.
That's a biggie. And that's where I also think maybe the... what's the expanded one that we always use?
The deluxe dining?
Yeah, the deluxe dining. That's where you could get like an additional table service. I'm sorry, quick service meal. You can get a quick service meal because you get two snacks a day. So maybe you want to go to a quick service one day for lunch simply, and instead of having three snacks that you may or may not use, you can just go and use that as at a quick service. I like that too, actually. That is pretty good. So they finally have a trade-in. So with all of this, is it worth going back to the meal plan now? Because we've been doing Tables in Wonderland, and I mean, we'd have to figure out a whole spreadsheet. I feel like there's a different spreadsheet every week on whether or not the Tables in Wonderland is worth it. In the long run, I understand that it's worth it. But if you're a family going for maybe two trips a year, let's just say they're going twice a year, I feel like now the meal plan, depending on the cost and depending on how interested everyone is in actually having like sit down meals and whatnot, this may be the better option.
I think as a family, especially with kids, and if you have kids that, this is all dependent on your kids. If your kids eat, if they're going to eat, the meal plan is definitely the way to go until they get out of the child's age. Because like for Kyle, the meal plan I think is going to cost me, I have to look it up, it's like $20 a day.
Okay.
For him, for the meal
plan. Wait, that's it?
Yeah.
$20 a day?
Yeah, for like the kid's meal plan.
Because he's under 10.
Because he's under 10. Yeah. He's eight, so.
Wow.
For him, and he will eat. He will definitely eat enough.
Well, even if he only ate one thing all day, I feel, you know, even if he just had a table service.
Yeah, but
I mean, a quick service.
Yeah, but sometimes with the kids, what I mean is they don't want to, a lot of families don't want to sit at table service restaurants. They don't want to do sit down restaurants. They just want to hit up quick services, but then they have a quick service meal plan for that also. But Kyle's good like that. Like he likes to eat at the restaurants and all that stuff. So for me, up until he ages out, it's really worth it because he's basically almost, it feels like I'm stealing food with him.
Yeah. That's, you know? I mean, that's, I remember that's how we used to feel with the dining plan.
Yeah.
We would work it out so much that it would feel like that. And then they kind of, you know, the word is homogenized the menu.
Yeah.
Because they started doing the free dining plan.
Yeah.
Right.
So then a lot of menus got cut back from the multiple dishes. I know San Angel is like the biggest one.
Yeah.
That we used to go there. And there were so many choices. And now you go there, there's four?
There's like four or five.
Yeah.
That's like it.
Which, I mean, I kind of like in a way because I know it stinks because they're limiting like how many, you know, choices you have. But in a way, that's good because if you're like someone like me, I get overwhelmed by too many choices. I'd rather just say, okay, this is my fish dish, this is my chicken, this is my meat. And the menus do get, you know, changed out pretty, you know, consistently. Mm. We go a lot.
Not consistently enough for me to only have the same four choices at a restaurant. For me personally.
Yeah. Okay.
I want more options.
No, I agree, but...
I want more options. I also think that sometimes can help the food be better.
Yeah.
Well, see, it's actually funny because a lot of restaurant shows that you watch, like the Rescue, you know, Bar Rescue or whatever they do, they actually say a smaller menu's better.
Yeah, those places usually close down like 6 months after that TV show rolls around. You know that, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But you know what's good with, and the Tables in Wonderland, I think, is really good if, especially if you're going to drink alcohol, if you're someone who wants to drink every, if for people that don't know, did we cover what Tables in Wonderland is?
I don't believe so. I mean, last week was kind of, I don't think so.
No, we didn't.
Tables in Wonderland, you purchase a Tables in Wonderland card, which I really wish they would just be able to put on your Magic Band, because if you lose this card, they charge you $50. Yeah. And the card itself costs you $100, and then you save 20% on your meals, including alcoholic beverages, at all of your sit-downs and your quick serves.
Yep, some quick serves. There's only a couple
on
there.
That's true.
And there's not all of the
restaurants. Monsieur Paul, Yak and Yeti doesn't take it, yeah. And specialty ones usually won't either. I know that we did the Star Wars Dine and Galactic Breakfast. It wasn't accepted there. The weird thing about this, though, is you automatically get hit with an 18% gratuity whenever you use the card. Now, I normally tip that anyway.
Yeah.
But it's weird. I don't understand why that's a must. That really doesn't make sense.
Why is because they add the tip on before the discount, and they think people will tip off of the discount, which is less money. You're supposed to tip before you get any discounts.
I see what you're saying.
And I have the feeling the majority of people won't. They'll be like, well, I only paid this much. I'm tipping over this much. When in reality, you're supposed to tip off of the full amount.
But I haven't had any problems like this when we go eating there, but a server having their tip locked in doesn't seem like the best idea for a customer service, perspective.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
You know, because no matter what, they know that they're going to be getting an 18% tip no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Now, again, we haven't had any, me and Melissa, we haven't had any issues with, we had one weird issue. We were at Jico.
Yeah.
But it was because the table next to us was loaded with assholes.
Yeah.
And our waiter had to deal with them.
Yes, yeah, I remember
and
that.
And you could tell he was stressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
We, at first, we were a little confused. And then because the guy came over, he was very quick with the menu, which is not something that Jico's ever liked.
No, never.
But then the people, we kind of took notice of, oh, Jesus, these guys just shut. They won't shut up.
Yeah.
Basically screaming and yelling. Uh-huh. And there was only four of them. Luckily, they were gone within 10-15 minutes.
Yeah.
When they left, our waiter came back down to earth, but we had already ordered our meal at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which for me and you, Melissa, personally wasn't a big deal because we know the menu there.
Right.
But we were with other people who had never been there before, and I definitely can't explain the menu.
Yeah, no.
Where Jico probably needs that explanation if you've never eaten there before.
Especially because with some people, it is an African-inspired menu, so for some people, words, might seem a little daunting. So unless you have somebody there to tell you about it, it might be like, I'm not going to try it.
I mean, to put it simply, it might sound really exotic, but then when you break it down to what it actually is, you're like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. You know, that it'll be something like that along those lines.
And the only other thing with the Tables in Wonderland is you have to be a DVC member or an annual pass holder to get it. You can't just get the Tables in Wonderland. But, I mean, it's geared towards people that go a lot. In order to get your money back, you would need to go there a certain amount of times. That's why it's geared towards annual pass holders and DVC members.
The other way that, if one of your party is an annual pass holder or a DVC member, if you're going on one trip with a bunch of people, you might want to consider doing that also, because if you split the cost for that card amongst your party, let's say there's five of you. It's a $20. Is it $100?
It's
$100.
So.
Yeah, that's what we did last time when I went, me, Scott, Michelle, and my mom, we all split
You split the money, so then maybe it's only $20 each to get this card. You're going to save $20 on your meal probably in 2 days.
Yeah.
If that. Yep. Maybe could be one, depending on where you eat. Like if you eat at Jico and you go to Boma for breakfast.
Right.
That's it. You're going to save your $20 that day.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the trip, you're just saving 20% off everything.
Yeah.
Again, you're paying the tip, but
you were going to
I normally pay that tip anyway, so it looks weird on the bill.
It does.
But because you're like, oh, I saved money, but I'm automatically spending that money.
Yeah.
But that's not what happened. You're still saving that 20%. You're just seeing the tip number on the receipt mm-hmm. where it normally wouldn't be unless you were a party of six or more.
Yeah.
So I don't, great expansion, I guess. I mean, that sounds like a great expansion.
I don't see anything bad about it. There was nothing taken away.
No, there was nothing taken away. Only stuff was added, so...
And I feel like the stuff that's added, like, especially because all the stuff that's got added as snacks, really helps you optimize your day. You know, you don't have to then be restricted to having a large meal if you want to just have, like, a couple of medium side dishes or something.
Like,
yeah,
like, if you maybe just wanted to get a coffee, an oatmeal, and a piece of fruit instead of a quick service, you can do that for breakfast instead of having to have a sit-down quick service breakfast.
Good stuff. One of our next trips, we'll try this out again. Even though we have the tables card, you know, maybe we'll give this a whirl just to see how we like it.
I think we'll keep the tables once we move down there because that just makes sense. But yeah, I think if we were on trips, I'd like to give this a whirl because it seems like it made the flexibility of it just skyrocket.
Yeah, seems good. All right, so let's get into the big to do of this week. There's been a lot of. If you're a Disney fan, if you're a decent Disney fan, I'm sure you've by now heard of FastPass Plus. Most of you maybe have experienced FastPass Plus. There's a lot of people who have not, though. A lot of those people also make comments on the internet about how well it works and how well it doesn't. That's a whole other situation, though. But we're going to actually talk about our experience with FastPass Plus, but let's first talk about what it is. If you haven't been to the parks in 2 years... you may have been familiar with an old system that was called a FastPass. How that worked was when you entered the park, you would go up to whatever attraction you wanted to go to. And if there was a long line and you decided you didn't want to wait on that line, you would go up to this booth, enter your card, your park ticket, and it would spit out a piece of paper with a return time on it. And it would also tell you when your next FastPass was available to be had. Normally, it mirrored the amount of time that you had to wait until you got to return to the ride. So, you know, for an example, if you got a fast pass for Rock and Roller Coaster and it said return between 6:20 and 7:20 p.m., it will then say, it would say lower below it, another fast pass ticket will be available after 6:20 p.m. So you had to reach your time to then get another one. This wasn't always the... It could sometimes be less, though. It wasn't an absolute lock. Especially, could sometimes do it earlier.
Yeah, like certain rides, like Toy Story. Sometimes the return time for that wouldn't be for another 3 or 4 hours. So your next Fast Pass could be before your return time for Toy Story just because of the long wait.
It always had to be because Toy Story was a
unicorn as far as like how weird that was. It was that in Soarin'.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm sure maybe even when Everest happened, it would be kind of the same thing because the wait on Everest.
Because I was there.
I know.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was still pretty busy. It was a pretty crazy time.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like when Toy Story opened, though.
No.
Because Toy Story still has that incredible pull. Yeah. I mean, you can go to Animal Kingdom and get on Everest 3 or 4 times pretty easily in a day.
Yeah.
To do 3 or 4 times on Toy Story without any Fast Pass use at all. That's your day.
Yeah, that's your entire day.
Or at least that's at least 6 hours of your day.
Yeah, because, well, you know what? That's the only family really friendly ride there
Star Tours?
For the most part. Mm. It's not Star Tours even. Some people can't handle that with the bouncing back and forth. Some people can't.
Yeah. The spinning around in Toy Story, though, would maybe fall into that category.
It might.
As
and
well.
I don't, but the thing is, I don't know if Toy Story has a height restriction. I'm trying to remember. I know Star Tours does.
I think they do because I remember seeing the little thing.
Yeah,
but it might be smaller.
I think it's smaller.
For Toy Story.
Something like Everest, definitely. That's definitely a ride that some people just aren't going to go on just based on the type of ride it is. So
that was the old system, the old Fast Pass system. And it had its positives, it's had its negatives. For me, the positives were depending on how busy it was. Now, the thing is also you have to take into effect 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago when we were using the old FastPass system, the parks were not as busy as they are now. I have actual attendance numbers that we'll go into later because a lot of people may wonder, like, why'd they do this? Number one, it's to find out what people are doing. When you really get down to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
It's also so you're not spending your time running around from fast pass booth to fast pass booth, and you have more time to, say, walk through a shop.
Yeah.
And maybe buy that shirt that you maybe wouldn't have gotten the other time because you had to go over to Space Mountain to get that fast pass, and then you wanted to run over back to Big Thunder Mountain, you know, to maybe get a fast pass or see what time the return time was, and yeah. blah, 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 blah. In the last, since 2008, Magic Kingdom has increased by 1.5 million guests annually. It's now 18.6 million people a year. That's an average of nearly 51,000 people a day. All those people running back and forth getting pieces of paper is insane.
Yeah.
It's I never liked it, that aspect of it.
I never did.
Because it made me feel like, Christ, we have dinner at 5, but the fast pass thing, it's too early right now. We don't, you know, we wanted to get it a little later, or we have another one, so we can't get that one now. So we'll have to wait, but we have to keep checking so we don't cross over with our dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
And then all I did, you know, all you would do is run back and forth trying to match up times.
Yeah. Or the other thing was you knew certain parks as soon as you go in. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going this way.
Yep.
Hollywood Studios, everyone's hitting Toy Story Mania. It's the Dash, the Toy Story Mania. You know, so that was, it made it very difficult.
And depending on how you like to do the parks,
yeah.
I'm not one who feels the need to be there at rope drop when I'm on vacation every day. But if we had to, if we were interested in going on Toy Story Mania, we knew that we'd have to be at Hollywood Studios within the first couple of hours of opening, or all the fast passes for that day might be gone. So now I have to spend my morning that I wanted to relax going to a park, pushing with other, well, I don't push, but other people pushing around just to get a piece of paper so I can go on an attraction.
Yeah, which could be later in the day, maybe at that point when you maybe wanted to go back to the hotel and take a nap.
Which
or,
we had a number of times.
Reservations
we would be there at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, depending. Well, 9 o'clock, let's say there was no magic hours.
Yeah.
And when we got there, we had a couple of times where the return time was already 11:30 noon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was when we had a lunch reservation. It's like, Jesus, we already lost that because there were so many, you know, other people. Yeah. I'm not so interested in an attraction that I'm going to show up at a park an hour and a half early.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't ruin the trip by any means if I skipped that ride.
Well, you know what?
But it just made it like, it made me feel like, okay, now I have to go here early only for this reason.
And you know what they had done for a while? If you had, say you had that and you had a 12:30 to 1:30 time, and you had a lunch reservation, they would let you go after your time was
they
up.
Would, absolutely.
But then they started cracking down
on that.
Then they started cracking down on that because
people took it, you know, you give people an inch, they take 600 feet.
Yeah.
So that started happening a lot. The other thing that I was never a big fan of was, I like to go to the park sometimes just at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you go to Magic Kingdom at 5, 6 o'clock, you're going to get, you know, on a moderately busy day, you're going to have the ability to maybe get one or two fast passes, like legacy fast passes.
Yeah.
Because if you showed up at, like, say 6 o'clock and you went to Space Mountain, that wait time is already probably 8:30, 9 o'clock. So then you got to wait till 8:30, 9 o'clock to get another one. Right. And then that one's going to be for 10, 11 o'clock. That's the end of your day.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I never was a fan of that system due to that kind of issue that it always brought up for us. I wasn't a fan. FastPass Plus gives you more flexibility while limiting your flexibility a little bit in the same time. How this works is you can book up to 60 days in advance, 3 attractions per day in one park on your vacation, and you reserve a time. Now you can reserve these times for whenever you want, according to availability. Which we just came back from a trip in May.
Right.
I was changing those times a week before we left.
Like a couple days before.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Sometimes we changed our rides the day before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we were like, oh, we want to do this. Now, if we wanted to change our time for like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, the busiest ride in Magic Kingdom, okay, that wasn't available, but everything else was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a limit to like how late you can go in the game and changing things up. But it's a pretty wide net, unless you're talking about Soarin' or Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or Toy Story. you know, you can pretty much move your schedule around wherever you want. So you want to maybe keep that, the big ones as concrete, be like, okay, we're going to keep this here.
Yeah, yeah, build around those ones.
A lot of times when I book my initial fast passes over the app, usually I'll try to do it from my computer for a little ease initially doing everything. You can then adjust whatever time they give you, again, according to availability. So if we, you know, they give you four options when you pick your three attractions. And they give you four options for your times. And say one is at 8:45, one's at 9:50, one's at 10:50. 10:50 to 11:50, that's Space Mountain.
Right.
But I don't know, whatever is going on at 10 o'clock or, you know, there was something going on right around that time you wanted to be at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's adjust that. Let's say it was at 3 o'clock, but you wanted to go to the parade that day. But through going through the website, that was the time that, you know, the choices that came up and uh-huh. you picked that one. You can go to that specific FastPass and then just modify the time.
Right.
And it will give you a list of other times that are available to go, and you just change it. That's exactly, I do that all the time.
Yeah.
I really custom out our day according to what we're doing. And the thing that I love doing now is we can show up at Magic Kingdom at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night. We have Space Mountain, Seven Dwarves, and Big Thunder. We already have FastPasses for those. And we don't have to worry about the line.
Right.
You know, we can go then on standby to Haunted Mansion, which maybe Haunted Mansion is 25 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. That's not the end of your life. If a 25-minute line is too long, I don't know. Don't go to Disney.
Well, I was going
to
say, Disney's not the place for you to go.
I don't know if Disney's a place for you anymore because it's just too damn busy.
Yeah. So now the only thing to kind of piggyback off what you were saying, the three rides. You do get three rides in one day. You can book a fourth one, but it has to be after you've used your three. So sometimes, like we're saying, we like to book our three at night. People then say, oh, what do you do in the morning? Well, most of the time, if you want to go to the park in the morning, the rides aren't too crazy. You know,
they're
before
not.
Like 11:30, 12, you can usually walk onto most rides. So that's how we definitely do Magic Kingdom, you know,
and
which
not
has the
walk,
most rides.
Maybe it's a 20-minute wait.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you know? Like, you're not so, like, up to 75 minutes yet.
No, you know, no. Like, if you didn't get a fast pass for, let's say, Peter Pan's flight.
Mm-hmm. That's your first
that's
ride.
That's going to be, like, you would want to probably go there first, you know, and get that ride taken care of if mm-hmm. you have people that want to do that. But yeah, so far in our experience of using FastPass Plus, it's a better advantage to save all your FastPasses, book them for if you're going to be at that park at night, book them at night or book them in the late afternoon, you know, before you go to dinner, something like that. And then use your morning as the time where you walk around the park at your own pace and you pick what you want to do. Because the lines aren't going to be that crazy yet.
Yeah.
No matter how busy a day it is, it takes a couple of hours for that to settle in, usually.
Yeah,
it does.
If you go with rope drop, you usually have a good 2 to 3 hours where you can get stuff done. A lot of times what we do is I go with the kids, so I tend to be up earlier. We'll go from rope drop or near rope drop, go for 2 or 3 hours, go back in the afternoon to the hotel or whatever and do mm-hmm. whatever we do and then go back at night. And I did the same thing. Last time I went, we tended to book our fast pass, maybe one in the morning if it was something that we really wanted to make sure we did, like the safari. Because you know, sometimes like
Animal Kingdom,
the African safari ride. And then we booked the rest in the evening.
Which the best times to do the safari is either first thing in the morning or around 4 o'clock.
Yeah, near the very end of
day. It's tougher in the afternoon. The animals probably aren't going to be very active. This is also depending on your weather. If it's ultra hot, those animals aren't going to be moving. We've had a lot of success going later in the afternoon and seeing, I mean, we've gone from, I've never seen that lion move to I've seen that lion jump.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen all three cheetahs running.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a massive difference.
And in the morning it tends to be like the elephants are up and about, you know, so that's another thing with the fast pass thing that I like, because if you know, I want to make sure I see the lions in the, you know, evening safari. You book that and you make sure you got that. And if you're going in the morning, what is it, a 20-minute wait if that? You know, you walk on, you see your morning safari, you get like the antelopes going, and then you know later on you have that.
I already have that. It's already set. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I don't have to go back and check, oh, what time are they up to now?
Yeah.
And within the day you can change in the park. While you're in the park,
yeah,
too, you
yeah.
can within
again,
that
according
day too.
To availability.
According
you
to
know.
Availability, but if something comes up and you want to see about changing something, you can always do that.
If you ever have a situation where nothing is available, but something has really come up and kind of put the kibosh on your day, and there's no more availability, but you can't use the times that you have, go to guest services. Mm-hmm. More than not, they're going to be able to help you in some way. You're going to have a little bit of a line over there, you know, like 15, 20 minute wait normally, unless it's a really busy day at Magic Kingdom. That line can get pretty nuts. Mm-hmm. But we've had a couple of occasions where they were able to help us out. You know, of course, this is not a guarantee all the time, but they were able to, even though there was no availability, they were able to help us out and get us on a certain time so we could lock everything in. Again, it's not always going to happen, but it never hurts to ask.
Yeah.
And it also helps to ask nicely.
Yeah.
And don't go in there like you're entitled to, you know, getting everything the way you want it. That's not going to usually work for you. Or at least you'll be a jackass doing it. So I so far have enjoyed this system immensely. I know that some people are against it because they feel that they have to plan out their day too much. Mm-hmm. It's three attractions. That should really roughly work out to about 45 minutes of your day. If that is planning your whole day, I don't know. Maybe look at the way you take in the parks. I don't know. 45 minutes out of my day doesn't seem like I have to plan my whole day.
No, I don't think so. And I believe you can, if you really are against planning your day out beforehand, you can go to the park in the beginning of the day and go to one of the kiosks and see what's available.
Absolutely, because they always save some available for day guests.
Yeah.
And we actually have a pair of friends, our friends John and Melissa. They went for their first time ever to Disney mm-hmm. a couple of months ago. They had no knowledge of FastPass Plus because they booked. They didn't book through Disney. They, you know, kind of piece booked it together.
Yeah.
So no one really told them about it. I told them about it a little bit, but they were just like, oh, don't worry about it. So they went into the parks totally green, had never been there before. They didn't use FastPass Plus a single time. They didn't make a single dining reservation. They had a blast.
Yeah.
He called me from the airport flying home trying to ask us, when are you guys coming back? We want to come with you.
Yeah.
So if you're not getting what you want out of your vacation, I don't know. Maybe you got to change the way you vacation a little bit because everything is there. You just have to, you know, learn how to kind of flow with things.
Yeah.
I like to plan things, but I don't like to overly plan things. But for me, planning three rides a day and knowing that I'm going to have dinner at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, that's not planning to me. That's me not having to worry about it on my vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I'm not an over planner, but I have no problems with using the fast pass.
You're going to the busiest tourist location on Earth.
Exactly.
I think it's a benefit to plan all your stuff out.
Oh, definitely. And,
or not even all your stuff. A couple of things that you do throughout the day. It helps us because sometimes we go at large parties.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not going to be able to walk up to a restaurant at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock with a party of 8 or 9 and be eating within 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. So if I can fix that, if I can set all that up and know that we're going to be here and, hey, we're going to go to a ride, you know, we have three attractions set up and then we're going to go to dinner or whatever. We're going to go in the morning. We have lunch somewhere. We'll go back to the hotel, relax. Then we're going to return to the park. I have three fast passes set up for us later on. We don't have to worry about how busy it is. Because that's our biggest thing is now we arrive and I see that it's busy.
Yeah.
But I don't care.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't have to rush. I got stuff. I already have my three things taken care of. Mm-hmm. You know, the three attractions I want to see the most. The other stuff I can get to, I'm just not going to rush around.
Yeah.
This is also a benefit of going a lot.
Yeah.
It is.
That's a big key now. This is, for me, my attitude comes from, you know, I do go a lot. So if I don't hit every ride, it's not the biggest nightmare in the world. But you have to start. If you're a new person to Disney, you're not going to do everything in one trip.
No, not unless you're taking like a 2-week trip because,
yeah,
or 10 days.
You're going to get real tired after after like 7 days is like my limit.
Yeah.
I start to really get like, okay, I'm tired now.
Yes.
You know, especially if you're like us, we do tend to get up early. Like for us, sleeping in is 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
if you're going to do that, then you're going to go all night, because the nighttime is the best time to be in the parks, in my part. And I can't wait till Animal Kingdom becomes a nighttime park.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to go all day, and you're not going to do it all in one day. Don't worry about it. Even if let's say you don't get to go to Haunted Mansion. Let's say you don't get to go on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train one day. You can always get on one ride in particular. If you decide, like, okay, the ride on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is too long. It's an hour and 45 minutes long. I don't want to wait on that line. I agree with you. I would not wait on that line. I wouldn't wait that long for any attraction. But what you can do is, as long as you're online for an attraction before that park closes, you will get on that ride. So let's say Magic Kingdom is closing on a Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. Right? That's about right.
Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
And Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, for whatever reason, kids got off school, you didn't know it, place is packed. Seven Dwarfs has been packed, you didn't get a fast pass for it because it was too busy, and you're like, damn, I'm going to miss out on this ride, or whatever ride. If they're closing at 10, go on that line at 9:45. Even if it's an hour wait, you're going to get on that ride. They're not going to kick you out. They let everyone ride the ride as long as they're online before close. So it's an excellent way to sneak in that really busy attraction at the end of the night. We've done it a number of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Particularly for Seven Dwarfs.
I've done it with Toy Story a number of times.
We actually never did it for that. We always like fast pass it once or twice. And then,
we usually fast pass it early. And then we always, before we leave the park, like as the park's closing, we get online for Toy Story.
Yeah. So that's a little tip. If you ever feel like you're boxed in, there's one particular thing that you didn't get to do or whatever, do that the very last thing in the night, because you're going to be fine. All right, so what? It's an hour wait. A lot of these queues are awesome.
Yeah, especially in Magic Kingdom. They've really upped their
And that's going to be happening everywhere. That's going to be happening everywhere, too. The interactive queues are going to be a thing that you see pretty much everywhere. But right now, they're very prevalent in the Magic Kingdom. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is really cool.
Yeah. Seven Dwarfs and I think Peter Pan are right now like my top two.
Wait, did you just say Peter Pan?
Yeah.
Peter Pan. You haven't seen this one.
No, I haven't.
I didn't know if you looked online or anything because people have done videos.
Anything, yeah.
It is honestly one of my favorite queues, and that has gone from being like the blandest queue
It was like the wall.
You go inside like the nursery, and it's just a lot of really cool interactive stuff. Cool. So I won't spoil
I can't wait to check it out.
We were actually doing, I'm not going to say what it was. If you want to look it up, I'm sure you can look it up online. There's videos online. There was one particular thing with shadows that you were able to interact with. And we just let people go by us.
Yeah.
You know, we were there messing with it for like 5-10 minutes just because it was so cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just let people go by us. That's another thing. You know, if you're interested in something and you want to check it out on these interactive queues, great. But don't stop everyone from behind you from moving.
Yeah, no.
Because then that's rude. Because we've seen some people do that.
Well, of course.
Yeah. So that's FastPass Plus in a nutshell. And while I'm happy with it, there are some things I would love to see changed. Number one, three attractions a day to start with seems low to me.
For certain parks, yes, I definitely agree.
For Magic Kingdom, yes. For every other park, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
but that is a problem with those other parks.
That might be changing because all those other parks are going to be expanding. I mean, Animal Kingdom's going to be expanding. I don't know what other attractions are going to be there, but there'll be more than the three.
Well, they're building the big show house right now. I saw some photos online.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, for Avatar. Yeah. That building is massive.
Yeah.
Absolutely massive. One little caveat also. In Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom, you can pick any three attractions you want that are in the park. In Epcot and Hollywood Studios, there are two tiers of attractions. And then you can pick from one attraction from the top tier, and then your two others from the lower tier. So for the tiers in Epcot, for an example, you get to pick one of the following attractions or experiences, because one of them is Illuminations. You get a reserved spot to watch the fireworks for Illuminations. The other three choices, one of them is going to seem really odd to have as a choice. Soarin', Test Track, and Living with the Land. I don't know anyone who would pick that as a top tier thing. So that's the thing that's really weird to me.
I've never waited. Other than just for if there was not a boat. Like, so, I had to wait for the boat, like, for a minute.
It's an odd choice. I don't know why that's there.
Maybe
I guess they had to,
crazy in the summer, maybe.
I think they had to put something in there because Maelstrom wasn't in there. Because Maelstrom used to be on the top tier. So that's no longer there. And then Hollywood Studios, let me bring this one up. Hollywood Studios also, this is also where they use the word experience, because you can use it for the Beauty and the Beast live on stage, Fantasmic, Rock and Roller Coaster, The Great Movie Ride, and Toy Story Midway Mania. So you'd have to pick one of those and then two of the other attractions. So normally, I know, Melissa, me and you, our normal pick is Toy Story Mania and then
Tower of Terror
and Star Tours.
Yeah.
And at Epcot, we normally go with Soarin' and Spaceship Earth.
Yep.
And then we don't know what the hell else we want to do.
Yeah.
Really. I wish Living with the Land was in tier two, because then I would always pick Living with the Land.
Yeah.
But usually for when the times we go, it's a walk-on, so it's not too bad.
No, yeah,
I'm wondering,
it's not.
Though, if they're going to put the new Norway ride, the new Frozen ride, in tier one.
Oh, they're going to have to.
You know what?
I know they're going to have to.
They'll probably do that and then bump Living with the Land down to tier two.
I hope so.
Because I don't remember Living with the Land being there. I remember that being Maelstrom, which also was like, why is this here? Because it's a 20-minute wait at worst.
Yeah.
And I would never use a top. I would never use my number one pick for Maelstrom.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't miss that ride at all. I know people act like that was the great, you know, tragedy of our lives, but I don't know. Whatever. That ride's gone. Thank God. It was cute. I love it. I even have the little troll vinyl when they did the Park Stars, but I'm not going to bemoan its loss.
Yeah.
So there are two parks with tiers, and then Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom do not have tiers.
No.
It doesn't really affect us. The only thing, I really wish they would just let Epcot be wide open, though, because there are so little choices.
Yeah, because, I mean, really, it's Soarin' and Test Track.
Yeah, that's the two things that everyone wants to go on. So then I understand, like, oh, well, they know that everyone would get those two, so it would be so busy, because that's the only two attractions that really grab people.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that's their way of making the standby line tolerable. But I don't know. I wish they would get rid of the tier system. So the three rides per day, I think, it's okay. But for whatever reason, four feels much better.
Because then what you could do, and if you do the parks like most people and you split it up, you could do two in the morning, two at night, or something like that. You know, yeah, the three is a odd number that just doesn't always fit.
It's a weird, it's just a weird number. It's literally an odd number.
Yeah. I made a pun.
And then the other thing is these all have to be in one park.
Mm.
Yes.
Which that to me makes sense. That's fine to me.
Yeah.
When you're done using your initial fast passes, if you wanted to book one for another park, you would have to physically get to that other park and then reserve it at a kiosk.
Yes.
This is my biggest thing that they need to change. I should be able to book that fourth pass on my phone through the My Disney Experience app for anywhere I want.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to get myself physically to there, because maybe I'm going to dinner first, you know, whatever. Yeah. And then by the time you get there, maybe all the fast passes are gone.
Yeah.
Let me book that in advance, and I would be much more satisfied with that. I would not pay for more.
No.
No, I
don't think
either.
That's going to be where it goes.
I don't think so.
I know that they've sent out surveys, but they've sent out surveys asking a lot of things over the last 50 years, and not everything always happens.
Yeah.
So don't get so freaked out over surveys. I see people online get
There was a big survey that they've been sending out with the tiered pricing for tickets.
The tiered price, the way that they do it at sporting events now.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, as an annual pass holder, I guess it really doesn't affect us.
It wouldn't know as much. I would guess not. No.
I understand the thinking behind it. If it's only going to be a $5 to $10 difference or a $15 difference from the busiest day to the slowest day, that doesn't seem like a big savings to go on the slowest days.
Yeah.
But if you're a big family and you're going for a number of days, I don't know. There's no concrete numbers because it's not an actual thing yet.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people saying, like, oh, this is how it's going to be. But unless they work for Disney and it's implemented and they've made an announcement, never take anything for granted. So that would be my big to-do that I would love to see changed with FastPass. Brian, do you have anything specific?
I honestly really like FastPass, and I like the way it's implemented, the FastPass Plus. The only thing that I would like is the way that you you have to wait to use all your fast passes up. I wish there was a way they could work around that to make it a little more accommodating. That seems
as in
rough.
Like, okay, I have 3 fast passes. I used one. Let me book another one.
Exactly.
So I can only have a maximum of 3 on my person at once.
Yes.
But I can book one after using one.
Yeah. So if I book one for rope, book one at 9. Once I use that one, then I can rebook and I can book another one. So you constantly always have 3 on your. You can always have a max of 3 on your...
I would love to see that too, actually.
That would be my biggest thing.
And if you're able to do that through the app, I think is the big thing. Because, yes, having to do it in the park.
That's the biggest thing too, even it's like a little what much. Pete said. It's, yeah.
The kiosks, they don't have that many of them.
No,
and it's really... It's taken away from, I think, one of the benefits of the FastPass Plus is now it's making you go back to kind of the old system where you have to go to that park in order to get a FastPass.
Yeah, and I got to go up to a booth and blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
You know, that's fine. Have the booths they need it. Obviously, they need them, especially for walk-up people, day of people. That's fine. But if you're not doing that, you should be able to just do it on your app.
Yeah.
Unless anyone's that we hadn't said that you would like to see implemented or tweaked?
I think, the main thing is, letting me have more and letting me have more in multiple parks. Even if you didn't, maybe if you only upped it till 4, but let me have those in multiple parks a day, I think would be my biggest thing because, they put the park hopper option on your ticket.
Yeah.
And now you're kind of taking that away a little bit because now I can't book multiple rides in multiple parks,
I wonder if they're worried about doing that because they feel that it's kind of like with the dining reservations. People would make multiple dining reservations and then only go to one. And then all those other reservations just went to the wind and no one ever got to use them because people are selfish.
Well, that's why you still kind of do, you're only allowed, even if they kept it at 3 or 4, but then I could split it up, 2 in one park, 2 in another, and it wouldn't be overlapping time, so you would still have it spaced out. But just let me have, my morning in Animal Kingdom and my nighttime in Magic Kingdom, kind of thing.
And I know that, we would stick to that, but I wonder if they don't do that because they're worried that a lot of people will split those up and then decide the day of, okay, never mind, we're going to go here. And then 2/3 of the one half of the available FastPass Plus online reservations that people could have used are sitting there and will not be used because people didn't know what they wanted to do that day.
Yeah.
I can see that happening.
Because that happens with the dining.
Yeah, exactly what happened with the dining. And now they have to do the if you don't show up, we charge you within 24 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, if the people could cancel can you cancel? That's the thing. I don't even know. Can you cancel a FastPass Plus that you've chosen?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So if those people canceled it, then that would, that would work then.
They're not going to do that.
But they're not going to do it. Exactly. Yeah, they're not going to do that.
They would just be like, oh, never mind.
Whatever. Yeah, we won't use it. So I can see that.
Unfortunately, I see that. But I would like what you were saying. Once I'm done, if I want to make a couple more, let me make them somewhere.
Yeah.
Which I know that kind of runs into the same problem I just said would be a problem for you. But they've got to figure something out. There's got to be a middle ground somewhere.
Again, there's a park hopper for a reason.
Yeah, see, that really, like you said, that puts a cramp in doing the park hopper. Like, why would you add that on? Sometimes you're kind of defeating the purpose of it.
Also, the park hopper. I really liked when we did Wishes.
Right.
The reserved viewing area for Wishes with our FastPass Plus.
Yeah.
But that being one of the 3 things we can book, it kind of felt like, oh, is it worth it? Like,
I was thinking that when we had booked the parade, which we wound up changing. But yeah, same thing. Like, yeah, the parade's really cool and I want to see it. But for that to be one of my fast passes,
yeah,
because
ultimately I can watch it from anywhere.
But that would have worked too if we were able to book in multiple parks because you could have went to Epcot that day, say, and did your 2 ones at Epcot, and then you just wanted to go to Magic Kingdom at night to watch the fireworks, and you could book just Wishes.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of room for them to improve it, definitely.
I think
it's a good system. I like it.
Yeah. I like it a lot. I love the implementation of the Magic Bands.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I love using it for my door key. I always attach my debit card to it, which really isn't attaching my debit card to it. It's just linking that to my reservation, which then I have my card on my hotel reservation.
Right.
And using that for my door key, for my Fast Pass entrance for, what else do we use that for?
We do, it's your entrance into the park. It's your entrance dining plan. It's for your dining plan. It's for entrance into, if you're going to a hotel to eat, they scan it to, you know,
that's right.
You know that you're a resort guest or, you know, so yeah, they kind of have you.
Yeah. And it's,
yeah, oh, it's definitely tracked.
You can use, it stops you from having to constantly pull your wallet out, or you could even leave your wallet at home for the most part, you know?
Yeah.
If you just bring some cash for tips, really otherwise you're fine.
When we go to Food and Wine next.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have to worry about getting the little
gift card.
Yeah, the little gift card. Is a good idea because it limits like the amount that you're going to spend.
Yeah.
But you can just bloop, that's it.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I always put a pin number on it.
Do you have to?
Whenever we set it up, especially
if you're putting a card on it,
I would never ever consider not putting a pin pad on it.
If you're going to use it as a card. And, you know, I know a lot of people I've read have issues with the whole tracking thing. You know, people think, you know, they're going to use this to track this and use it to track that.
Do they use cell phones?
That's what I was just going to say. Everyone walks around with a cell phone. You're already being tracked.
You're already being tracked.
Relax a little. Yeah. It's okay.
Calm down. Google anything?
Google Earth. You know, you're being tracked no matter what you do. So just, you know.
If you've ever done anything on the internet or you have a cell phone, you're already being tracked way more. I hate to tell you this, but none of us are that interesting. They're not looking into your life. They just data mine and they figure out where the flow of people are and blah, blah, blah to try to improve ways to maximize on profit. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
So, all right. I don't know. I'm a big fan of it. I'm looking forward to it expanding. I think it is going to expand.
You know what?
It did already in only 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's already changed quite dramatically. The app is getting better.
Yeah.
Disney's IT department, I would love
Which
to know.
Which is baffling to me.
Yeah. They have such a huge company, and I've never had Amazon.com crash on me on Christmas, and there's never a day in Disney where there's more visitors going to Disney's website than there is when Amazon has their Christmas stuff going on.
Yeah.
And Amazon doesn't hiccup.
Yeah.
So if they don't have problems, you shouldn't have problems.
No, there's
that
no
has
reason.
To be addressed and fixed.
Yep.
Because if I was to say of all the things I've read online, the most consistent issue and the most honest issue is they time out of the website.
They do. It is.
I haven't had that problem really too much. Oh, a quick little tip also. If you're worried about like keeping track of what ride you got to be on when and you don't want to have to keep going into the app to check it, bring your times up on your phone before you leave your hotel and then take a screenshot of that picture, you know, on the iPhone. It's by, you know, clicking the home button and the power button up on top. You press them at once. That takes a screenshot. I do that every morning before we head out. So then it's only a matter of me bringing up a photo.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll even make it my homepage.
I was just going to say you make it your homepage. You make it your lock screen. And it's right there.
Make it your lock screen on your phone. Therefore, you always have it right there. It's nice and easy. You don't have to depend on, is this up yet? Is this, you know, I have to make sure. I don't know what time it is, but I can't make connection with the internet, blah, blah, blah. It saves your data too. Saves you a lot of data because, wow, that one trip that we went on, I blew through my data.
Well, there is Wi-Fi in all the parks, although I know if there's like thousands of people on it, it's not always the best system.
There's Wi-Fi.
Yeah. It's not the best Wi-Fi. It's not your home Wi-Fi where like four people are on it. But, yeah. You know.
It's a wee different.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the only other thing.
Let's just do final thoughts. Once around.
I wonder if they're going to eventually, because I know we had talked about this before, introduce, depending on the types of hotels you stay at, the numbers of fast passes that people are going to be given throughout the day.
And I hate to say this because I think it sounds kind of dickish. I'm 100% okay with that.
No, I don't think it is at all, because right now, if you're off property, you can book 30 days. If you're on property, you can book 60 days.
So it already does exist there in a sense.
So if you're staying at a value, you get 3. You're staying at a moderate, you get 4. You're staying at a deluxe, you get 5. That could be a way to do it.
As a DVC member, I would jump over the moon for that deal.
Of course, but then it's also, it feels like the higher place you're staying at, the more expensive place you're staying at, you're getting a little bit something extra for the more you're paying also. Yeah.
Which, I mean, you get, because the hotel, that's a value, is a value for a reason.
I've experienced both ends.
You pay for more when you go to a deluxe resort because you're getting more at that resort. The amenities are not the same across the board.
Oh, they're not.
If the amenity, I know. You went from Animal Kingdom Lodge.
I went from a two-bedroom Savannah View at Animal Kingdom at Kidani to Pop Century. Not that it's not a bad hotel. Don't get me wrong. Pop Century is nice. But it's not Animal Kingdom. It's not a two-bedroom Savannah View at Animal Kingdom.
It's not the same. It's not the same experience.
It's not. Even just, you know, it's different. And I think that that would be a – I think that – I would like to see that eventually go that way also.
I wouldn't – that wouldn't surprise me in the least. That might be their version of if you want more, you pay more. Actually, Universal does this now.
Yes, that's true.
Universal
do.
Does this.
Yes.
They offer – if you stay at the two higher hotels,
yep.
you get early park access and you get your express pass mm-hmm. for free.
Yes.
You get that for free, which is – that's a lot of money.
It is. That is.
That's like two. That's like $150 a person depending on when you go and how long you're going for.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you get that for free.
Yeah.
So if Disney implemented this and it was just that you get more fast passes depending on what accommodations you book through us – so be it.
Yeah, that's
everyone else is doing it, and it doesn't kill everyone. Everyone in Universal isn't having the worst time on Earth.
The thing is, it's not taking anything away from you. It's not taking anything away from anybody. Yeah. You know, everyone's always had three, so now it's just giving. You know, if they're staying in a more expensive place, they get an extra benefit.
Yeah,
it might give the incentive to go up to the moderate instead of going into the
moderate. I mean, there's
the moderates are nice.
Really nice. There's a big jump from the value to the moderate.
Yeah.
And the price isn't massive.
No, I've stayed at all three versions. I've stayed at the value once. only once. I've stayed at the moderate, at different moderates. I've stayed at like three of the moderates. And, you know, I've stayed at a few of the deluxes. So the moderates are definitely a jump up from the value results.
Yeah. That also, I mean, just for me personally, it would make my monthly dues for DVC feel a little
more worth it.
Yeah,
I'd be like, okay, you know what? I'm getting the thing out. I mean, granted, it was a real estate investment that I made ultimately on paper.
Yeah.
So I don't expect special treatment, but if I, you know, if there was some kind of benefit to staying at a deluxe, then I would love it. I mean, especially when it comes to FastPass Plus. If that was something that came in, if you're a big Disney fan, you should be looking into DVC anyway. We're going to do a whole DVC episode maybe next week. We'll do a DVC episode next week. So, but for now, just a final thought. Melissa, do you have anything you wanted to just throw in last moment?
Nope, my mind's blank.
Okay.
Sorry.
So thanks for tuning in, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back next week for another episode. And till then, say goodnight, Brian.
Good night, Brian.
Say goodnight, Melissa.
Good night, Melissa.
Good night, Pete. Say goodnight, Pogo.